Call 1-800-BETS-OFF.
For 75 years, NCMIC has been doing the right thing for its customers, employees, and the community. Now, here's Miller and Condon.
Hour number two, 5 minutes after the hour of 11 o'clock. Miller and Condon are on 1460 KXNO and 106.3 FM. Momentarily, we'll head to Houston, where Matt Snyder from CBSSports.com is there to cover the opening couple of games of the World Series. Bottom of the hour, Cody Goodwin covers high school sports for the Des Moines Register. Playoffs 3, 4, and 5A get underway this week. We'll pick his brain on that. Let's head to Houston, shall we? That's where we'll find Matt Snyder, CBSSports.com. Matt, Trent, and Ken, thank you for coming on. How are you?
I'm very, very good. I'm looking out of my window at Minute Maid Park, so pretty good.
I bet. Yeah, I'm envious. So I've never been to that ballpark, but to the Astrodome, which is still standing, right? I think it is.
I think it's right next to, is it Reliant Stadium where the Texans play?
It is.
Yeah, I think it's right next to it.
Indeed. Yeah. So I'm anxious to, have you been to Minute Maid? It looks great on TV.
Yeah.
What's it like?
I love it. Top 10 for me, wow. Maybe top 7-ish. It's very, very good. Yeah. I mean, it's quirky as you see the dimensions. Yeah. You know, you got the Crawford boxes. I think there are a certain few people who are annoyed that they took out the hill in the flagpole in the center, but I'm not on that list. I hated that.
I never understood it either.
I loved it. It was something goofy.
It was different. I got to give you that.
It's quirky.
Yes.
Quirky for sure.
Indeed. So, you know, Trent and I were going back and forth on this. I've got him to come around, and I'm on the Braves in this series. After they did to the Dodgers what they did to the Dodgers, I'm impressed by the Astros in their own right. That offense is unbelievable. But why can't the Braves win? I'll ask it that way. Why can't the Braves win this World Series?
I'm not willing to say they can't, because they definitely can. But I picked the Astros just because I think they do have more offensive firepower. And it seems like maybe there was something to the pitch tipping story in the three games against the Red Sox, because it seems like they really got their house in order pitching-wise after that. Framber Valdez, Luis Garcia, it seems like they kind of got things in order, and the bullpen was great in the last few games. So I feel like there was something going on there, and they seem to have fixed it.
They fixed it, got that figured out. You mentioned the bats, and a lot of times we're talking still about a short series. Even a 7-game series in the grand scheme of things is a short series. The way baseball's played here, the way that we've seen the evolution of playoff baseball specifically, when you look at the makeup of these two rosters, is there advantage in playoff baseball between these two teams and the way that you just have to be different when it comes to this spot?
I don't feel like it. I think things came together for both teams, certainly, but I don't feel like there's one specific thing that you could point to and say, oh, yeah, just because it was the playoffs. I just feel like it lined up well for the Braves with the Giants and Dodgers having to play each other in the NLDS round. I feel like the Astros were the best team in the American League. I thought that from the get-go. I had the Astros winning the World Series, I think, from the start of the playoffs. I don't think it's anything necessarily about the playoffs other than the whole just anybody can win any given series.
Who will Snitker use in Houston as their DH? Is it Soler? Does he keep Peterson in right, or do they flip flop back and forth depending on who's starting? Who will DH tonight?
I think you're probably right on Soler, especially just coming off the COVID list and maybe not having as many fresh reps. But I don't think there's a huge difference in them defensively. Offensively, I think Soler has much more upside, although when Jock gets hot, he gets hot. You definitely want both of the bats in the lineup. So, I think it's probably going to be Soler who would be the DH.
bullpen's important here, and a very rested Houston bullpen. You go back to early in that series in the ALCS, it felt like, boy, whoever gets there, they're going to be so depleted. Not the case anymore. What, four off days over the last five now for Houston, and we know how good Presley can be at the back end there. Mm-hmm. Javier's been good, just on and on and on. How important is that at this point in the playoffs, that much rest for the bullpen?
Very, very, especially because with McCullers out, you know, the rotation's compromised already going into the series. So if you're the Astros, you know, you mentioned Javier, he's going to be the guy who can get length. Other than that, Dusty would love to just go almost exclusively Stanek, Graveman, Presley. And if you can, you can go four innings with those guys. Ideally, the starter would get the ball to them, and that would be it. So it's huge. Gosh, the Braves, too.
Yes.
I mean, it's the back-end guys have been so good. Tyler Matzek.
What can you say about
Tyler Matzek? Uh-huh. He was almost out of baseball 2 years ago, and now he's striking out three guys in a row with the tying run on second. Are you kidding me? The bullpens have been very fun.
No, there's no doubt about it. You know, you brought up Dusty Baker a second ago. I know you wrote about him before you jumped on the plane yesterday to head to Houston. I don't get the hatred toward this guy. You know, really is. I bet the Braves. I'm rooting for the Braves. But on the other hand, if Dusty Baker, I mean, this is a baseball lifer, for crying out loud.
He's one of the nicest guys in the game. Yes.
I mean, he broke into the bigs in what, the late 60s, I think, and was in the league for almost 20 years, and he's been managing forever. Who can ever forget his kid at home plate? Right. I mean, what year was that? That was 2002. Holy crap.
Yeah.
That kid's voting now, for God's sakes. But you know what? If he wins a World Series, will people be disappointed that Baker finally got there? How can you be?
I would sure hope not. I mean, I think most of the people who criticize him, first of all, I think they're out of their minds, but it's years and years and years ago that he made mistakes. But secondly, I think that most people who criticize him know that he's a good person, and so they would be happy for Dusty the person, even if they think, I don't like Dusty the manager. At least I would hope. I mean, there's always going to be people out there who hate on something, but I would hope that the vast majority of the Dusty haters are just haters of the manager and not the man. And if he won the championship, they'd be happy for the human being. I would sure hope so.
Question for you. Let's say Houston down 2-1, game four comes. Valdez, Garcia, Urquidy, those are the three starters. Bullpen game or throw Zach Greinke or Jake Odorizzi in that game four. Down 2-1, you got the choice. What are you doing in that spot if you're Houston?
Pray.
Well, I definitely wouldn't let Odorizzi warm up on the field for a half hour. That was not compelling TV. I think probably a cop-out on my part, but I think it's a combination. I think you go Greinke in a bullpen game and know that Greinke's not going to get you length, and maybe get three outs with Greinke and then go straight to all your bullpen guys, something like that. I really, at this point, am not prepared to trust Odorizzi for, like, more than just a few outs.
And maybe that's one where, Javier, you just are a little more careful with him in game three.
You get like three outs from Greinke, and then as long as you haven't emptied Christian Javier's tank in the previous three games, they go as many as you can after Greinke.
I kind of like that plan.
Do you?
Yeah.
Down 2-1 sounds good to me.
Yes, I know you like that one too.
What do the Braves need from Charlie Morton tonight? What are they looking for out of him? Because they last played when? Friday? Yeah, Friday.
Yeah, the bullpen guys have had some rest, but ideally you want to get off to a good start. You don't want to empty all your good bullpen arms in game one if you're trying to get at least a split, maybe even two here. So, yeah, six innings, a quality start. I mean, I don't think a quality start's the greatest stat in the world, but if he gave them six innings and only gave up two runs, I think they'd be in really good shape for the series.
Well, and Snitker obviously trusts him because he got in trouble early in his last start, and there would have been a lot of managers, right? Cash would have had him out there instantly, but he trusts him, and he left him in there, and he was rewarded. He got through five when his hair was on fire early in that game, so there's obviously a great deal of trust between Snitker and his veteran starter.
It's an interesting dynamic in this series. Both managers, in a way, are old school with how they deal with their pitching staffs. And I know we saw a lot of quick hooks, and sometimes you have to do that. But Dusty gave an interview after they won, and he said, I have to let my guys get out of trouble, or they're never going to learn how to get out of trouble. You know, and it feels like both managers have that mindset when they have a guy who needs to get linked, whether it's a starter or whether it's Javier in relief. They both have the mindset that he can get in trouble and he can get out of trouble, and that's okay, instead of just pulling the guy at the second that there's trouble. So it's going to be fun to see how they deal with the pitching in the series, because we have two high-powered offenses. And they're going to get in trouble. It's going to be interesting to see how they deal with the trouble.
Got a math question for both of you guys. See if you know the answer to this one, or at least can be close to the number that we're going to go down here. A 1-0 World Series lead. What percentage of teams that lead 1-0 go on to win the World Series? Ken, I'll start with you.
Oh, you mean not in the game?
Yeah, because we always talk about the importance of getting out to a start.
Yeah.
How big is that number? What percentage of teams that take game one go on to win the World Series?
It's 65%, Trent.
All right, there's a guess from Ken. What do you say,
Matt
Snyder?
I'm going to go below that. I'm 56, 57.
Ken would get it unless we're playing Price of Right rules.
I went over.
63.8% of the time. Okay. So it's important, but not overly important.
It's what I thought. Like, it's a majority, but it's not overwhelming or anything. Yeah.
Can Eddie Rosario possibly keep this up?
No, but for a couple games, sure.
Yeah,
for an entire series, no. But that's another thing. What I talked about. What's interesting is both teams are in overdrive scouting wise. Did they find any holes in Eddie Rosario's swing? Just the same way as did the Braves find any holes in Yordan Alvarez's swing? How are they going to work the guys? Are you just going to pitch around them? Are you going to go after them? Do you think you have a hole, like, for example, low and in? I'm very interested to see how they approach the really high hitters.
Well, we will talk to you next week, Matt, and at that point we will either have World Series winner, we'll be getting ready for Game 6, and fingers crossed, to Game 7, just because that'd be great for the sport and great theater and more for us to talk about, which is always a good thing.
Absolutely.
But then, of course, after that, we go to free agency. And looking through these free agent lists, and I know we brought it up maybe on a monthly basis with you throughout this baseball season, it's absolutely a huge class. Fill us in, kind of what you're hearing. You're there in Houston, I know, talking to other people involved in the game. Free agency, with the great unknown of what could come as it pertains to a labor dispute, what free agency is going to look like here at the end of 2021?
Until the December date with the CBA, not much. I don't think anything's going to happen at all, because everybody's just waiting for that. After we get a deal, we'll see. There's going to be some teams who are going to be aggressive. I mean, I think the Yankees are going to be aggressive. I feel like the Red Sox are at the opportune time that they need to strike. The Dodgers have a lot of guys heading to free agency, so they're, even if they're not aggressive or one of the biggest active teams in the offseason and even retaining their guys, they have to do something to kind of reshape their team. So the Dodgers are going to be a big deal. I feel like the Blue Jays need to be aggressive on the pitching front because they have all the position players and you need to have the pitching to match. Rangers, who knows what's going on with them, but they definitely have money if they wanted to do something. And the Cubs as well. The Cubs should have plenty of money to spend. It's just a matter of how much they want to open it up.
Back to the labor disruption. Does it seem like that's where we're headed? Well, I mean, we probably should save this for a hot stove conversation with you. But
yeah.
Does it seem like when the calendar turns to April, are we watching baseball?
Yeah.
Good.
Absolutely. I think both sides know that they can't take the PR hit.
Yeah.
After what happened with the pandemic, they can't take that PR hit. And both sides know that. And the owners know how much they got hurt without fans in the stands. And that's the exact same thing as not playing games at all. And they know they can't do that. From everything I've been hearing, the players seem to want to play ball, and it's more the owners pushing back on stuff. So we'll see. I know most people, for whatever reason, it seems like the general public always wants to call the players the greedy ones. Oh, those greedy players, they just play a game, blah, blah, blah. But, man, the owners have a lot more money than the players.
Yeah, I'll say. Two more, we'll let you go, because I want to let's all three of us go on record for who's going to be the MVP of the World Series. But before we do that, give you a second to think there, Condon. Oliver Marmol is the new skipper of the St. Louis Cardinals. I know nothing about him. Apparently, he's been in the organization a long time. They're giving him his first gig, and as in the major leagues as a manager, he's been with the team for a while. What do you think? What's behind the hire, Matt? What are you hearing?
From what little I've heard, there was disconnect between Schilt and the front office, something happened to the point that they said, we can't have this guy be our manager anymore. And it happened late in the season, even after the winning streak, I believe.
Yep.
It was just something happened. We don't know what, but where they were like, we got to get this guy out of here. But they wanted continuity on the staff. And since Marmol was already there and he already has a good relationship with a lot of the players, it was the natural thing to do.
Gotcha.
That's as much as I got.
Yeah, it seems like, there's a lot of names associated with it, guys we'd heard of, guys that have been there before, but we'll see how he does. All right, Trent Condon, who's the MVP of this World Series?
You talked me into betting the Braves. I've already done that, so I'm going to find a Brave, obviously. You got to go with that route. And I'm going to go with the guy that hasn't been great in the postseason, Ozzie Elvis.
Ah, you took my
Oh, no God. Way. Are you serious?
Yes, I am.
We got to find these this future, too. We might have to bet this also.
Who's the MVP of this World Series, Matt Snyder?
I took the Astros. I always just say seven because I want it to go seven.
Me too.
That's the maximum drama. I went with Carlos Correa.
Yeah.
He's been hot in the postseason. He feels natural to me, and he's headed to free agency. So, it's one last kind of, hey, everybody, look how good I am. The Anchorman line, So it's, I'll go with Correa.
Are you going to Atlanta after this first two games?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, you're living the dream, Matt Snyder.
I haven't been to that new ballpark yet either, so I'm looking forward to that.
I don't blame you a bit. We will read you at CBSSports.com. We'll talk to you next Tuesday. Thank you for what you do for us. We'll read you again. CBSSports.com for our guest, Matt Snyder. Matt, thank you for doing this for us. We'll talk to you next week. Appreciate it.
All right. Take care, guys.
Good to talk to you. Matt Snyder, CBSSports.com. Good to have him on the weekly basis as we do.
World Series odds.
For MVP?
MVP.
Yeah.
Your favorites. Freddie Freeman.
I think that's a hard thing.
And Alvarez. And I looked at Freeman for a while. Plus 850.
That's still pretty good.
Altuve, 10-1.
Mm-hmm.
Followed by Correa. He's 11. Then at 12, three players. Tucker, Rosario, and Riley. You got to go down a ways before you get to our man, Ozzie Albies.
20?
18-1.
I like those numbers, Trent Condon.
And it's a long shot. I know how you like those.
Well, in the horses, I do.
Yeah, betting favorites in the NFL and betting long shots on the horses.
We'll have the Bengals, let's not forget.
That's true.
All right, at 6.5, too. I mean, gosh. You get to this point, I wish I really would have taken the elastic band off the old bankroll, right? This one's home free. We will come back with the high school playoffs. Cody Goodwin is coming up from the Des Moines Register. I look forward to doing a lot of listening to you guys in this segment as you were both in stadiums through the first, 9 weeks of the season?
That's right.
Now, you're going right to the Dome, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
The Bulls got the games on the radio right through it all. What can you do with CISN-TV?
We'll be able to do the next two rounds. So
next two rounds?
I will be doing the Ankeny Centennial Valley game on Friday night.
Mm-hmm.
You can catch that game on the Bowl and the video stream on CISN-TV. Fingers crossed if everything plays out. quarterfinal would be out at Southeast Polk Dowling Catholic.
Oh, my.
Against SEP to get to the Dome.
So we won't get Valley Dowling until they get to the Dome. If we could get it, that's where right. It would. That's not bad either.
No, not at all. Played that game at the Unidome, had that championship game a couple of years ago. So
Trent, it was an well, you were there.
Yeah.
It was two Fridays ago.
Mm-hmm.
And we always see that game week one. Well, I saw Wentz in week one, mostly week two or week three.
Right.
Boy, this was a fun game. I'm glad it was late in the year.
Get a rematch maybe for a championship?
Wouldn't that be something? All right, well, we'll do more high school football conversation on the other side. But right now it's time for another $1,000 handoff. Text the keyword EASY to 200-200 right now. It's your chance to win $1,000 EASY to 200-200.
You'll get a confirmation text and info. Standard data and message rates apply in this nationwide contest.
Cody Goodwin, Des Moines Register, joins Miller and Condon next on 1460 KXNO and one.
Trent Condon here to tell you about Rentestate, the new revenue rocket ship. Putting your home up for rent, not for sale. But why would you do that in a seller's market? Just do the math. Selling a home will catch you some cash once, while renting a home keeps that cash coming month after month after month. And because there are always renters, but not always buyers, Rentestate is foolproof, recession-proof, and retirement plan positive. What's not to love? The hassles of being a landlord for one monthly flat rate. Renter's Warehouse will take away the tedious tasks. Tend to your tenants, answer the 3 a.m. calls, market your property, and collect the rent. Make the savvy, long game, paradigm shift and choose Rentestate with Renter's Warehouse. Get your free rental price analysis today. Go to renterswarehouse.com or call 515-528-4429. 515-528-4429. Because you can't buy happiness to me from the Urology Center of Iowa.
Get in on the action with the world's largest sports book right at your fingertips. Circa Sports Iowa is where the pros play. Enjoy the highest limits, lowest takeouts, and competitive betting menus. Download, fund, and bet from anywhere in Iowa. Circa Sports Iowa. Sports betting the way it should be. Download your new bookie today. Visit CircaSports.com. Must be over 21 and present in Iowa to bet. Have a gambling problem?
1-800-BETS-OFF.
Family owned since 1970, Kemker's True Value in Rental helps you buy what you want and rent what you need. Get to work on that to-do list with help from Kemker's True Value in Rental. Kemker's has all your hardware needs, plus their rental catalog is perfect for do-it-yourselfers. With two central Iowa locations to better serve you in Grimes and Huxley, make it Kemker's True Value in Rental. Find out what they can do for you at KemkersTrueValue.com. That's Kemker's True Value.
Approval and analysis.
First and 10 from the Roosevelt 46-yard line. Here comes Valley, their first snap offensively, and they're going to hand it off to the right side. Breaking through a tackle and into the open field, 25-20. Up the sideline, 10. Touchdown, Valley. Aiden Price comes on the jet sweep. 46 yards to pay dirt. One play, one score. The Tigers strike first.
Well, and you just play of the day brought to you by CISN TV from last Friday night as the Valley Tigers punched their ticket in the playoffs, knocking off Roosevelt 42-7. First offensive play of the game. Jet sweep, Aiden Price makes the play there as Valley gets ready for the playoffs. They take on Ankeny Centennial Friday night. The Ankeny Hawks against Waukee Northwest. You can catch both those games on CISN TV.
All right, good stuff, Trent Condon. Let's get our friend Cody Goodwin in here. He covers high school sports, amongst other duties, at the Des Moines Register. Cody, Trent, and Ken, thank you for coming on. How are you?
I'm doing great. I appreciate you guys having me. It's going to be a fun Friday night.
Yeah, indeed it will. Looking forward to all of your coverage at the Register. And, of course, my partner here, Trent, is he'll be on CISN and on the Bull 96.9 on the FM dial. Well, let's get into we'll start with the 5A. And Southeast Polk comes into this with the RPI index that they use as the one seed. Do they look like a one seed to you, Cody?
Yeah, I think as long as they're healthy, they are, they look like they have the capability to be the best team in Central Iowa. Like, obviously, you've got teams like Valley and Ankeny, and, Dowling has come on very strong of late. Urbandale had a really nice season, even though they slipped up last week to Waukee Northwest. You know, this is one of those rare years where there is a ton of parity going on in Central Iowa, and I don't know how used to that we really are, right? I mean, Dowling had their run of seven straight state titles, and for a long time they seemed pretty inevitable when they played everybody except Valley, but even then they were able to get the job done in the postseason. So, you know, this year, just looking at them, you know, Polk has one loss, which was to Ankeny, who also beat Dowling, but Dowling beat Valley. Valley also beat Ankeny, but Polk beat Valley. So it's just, it's a really fun, unique year that way, where there's just, there's a lot of things that could potentially happen every time these teams match up. And, you know, maybe thankfully for us, a lot of these teams are separated. I know Dowling and Polk are in the same pod, you know, when it comes to the first round this coming Friday and the quarterfinals next week, they could end up playing each other for the right to go to the Unidome. But a lot of parity this year in large class Iowa high school football, which I think has been a lot of fun.
You know, in those years too, if it wasn't Dowling, maybe one other team you can make an argument for. I think you can make a compelling case for 7-8 teams this year in the biggest class to win this thing. And that's what makes this as wide open as it's ever been. 1, 2, maybe 3 teams in any given year. Not the case this season. Cody, help out our listeners. We're going to see some of these kind of cross-state rivalries, if you will. Linmar, they go to Dowling Catholic. I'll go to Williams Stadium, actually, for that one. Urbandale City High, on and on and on. What do you know about the east side of the state? How strong is it on that side of the state this year?
Yeah, there's a lot of really good teams out there. A lot of intriguing teams, right? And we're going to get to see a lot of them here, you know, on Friday night. Just over the course of the night as it unfolds. I mean, you mentioned Linmar; they're coming to play Dowling. Urbandale's got to make the trip out to Iowa City. You know, but outside of, you know, out in eastern Iowa, right? Cedar Rapids Prairie has to play Bettendorf. Bettendorf has kind of picked it up after a slow start. Cedar Rapids Prairie. Two very narrow losses. You know, they're just a couple of plays away, I think, from being 9-0. They had Southeast Polk on the ropes until Xavier Nwankwo blocked a field goal at the end of the game to win that one. You know, and then kind of the same thing happened with Cedar Falls. It was a really exciting back and forth fourth quarter, and Cedar Falls just happened to have the ball last. But, you know, Pleasant Valley is another team. Cedar Falls and Pleasant Valley have to play, and the winner could see the winner. The winner will see the winner of, you know, Valley Ankeny Centennial. So, I like that the Iowa High School Athletic Association kind of, you know, the way that the final RPI kind of unfolded, we almost have a true seeded bracket here, just with the way they divided up the pods and the way they more or less protected, I think, the top four seeds, but they also paired them up, you know, 1, 8, 7, 2, 3, 6, 4, and 5. So, you know, I think that's a lot of fun. I think that gives a lot of different teams opportunities. You know, we could see, you know, potentially 3 Central Iowa schools at the Unidome. We could also potentially see 3 Eastern Iowa teams at the Unidome. You know, it's kind of who shows up the next 2 weeks and brings their best to, you know, give themselves the opportunity to get up to Cedar Falls. So there's a lot of really fun teams, a lot of intriguing teams, and, you know, in kind of in the way that it's been all season, you know, whoever shows up on Friday night is going to be the better team that night, and that could go, you know, that creates all sorts of different possibilities, right? It's going to make it fun.
Cody Goodwin from the Des Moines Register is our guest. You mentioned Urbandale having to go to take on City High, and City High was such a power, even as an outsider to the state, realized that very quickly, what their place was in high school football. Mitchell Moore leaves Roosevelt after, is it fair to say, resurrecting that program? I mean, he certainly motivated them.
Yeah, Coach Lincoln started it on the right track, yeah. But he had looked like he was going to take it to another level.
And City High seemingly, Cody, was down, and yet here they are. They're 8-1, and they've got a home game on Friday night. Is this just purely a testament to just what a motivator Mitchell Moore is?
Yeah, I think, you know, I think what people might be forgetting a little bit is that, you know, he took over a couple of programs that, you know, have always been – these are two schools that are full of athletes, right? Like City High and Roosevelt may have struggled a little bit when it comes to football, but, you know, we've talked about Roosevelt when it comes to soccer in recent years, when it comes to baseball in recent years. You know, they've had good athletes when it comes to swimming and tennis and volleyball and basketball and this, that, and the next, and just for whatever reason, they just haven't been able to put it together on the football field. So I'm glad Trent, you know, brought up Coach Link. You know, he kind of really, I think, built the foundation of that program. And then when Mitch Moore came in, he kind of injected a different level of juice into the team. And, you know, they kind of took off. I know they kind of struggled a little bit down the stretch here this season. But, you know, still a lot of really, really good football players that they had on the field this year and that are going to come back again next year. Same thing that really happened at City High. I mean, City High, think about this, guys. They're the last non-Central Iowa Class 5A team to win a state football championship in Iowa's large class. That was all the way back in 2009. But you know, for the longest time under Coach Dan Sabers, they had a lot of really, really good athletes and just, you know, Iowa City West rose to power in, you know, some of the recent years. Cedar Falls has kind of claimed Eastern Iowa, Cedar Rapids Kennedy, and has had some really good teams. Bettendorf, obviously, Pleasant Valley, you know, and so I think, you know, you bring in a guy like Mitch Moore who he brings a lot of energy, you know, just talking to some of the kids out there on that team in that program, they, you know, they talk a lot about the energy that Mitch Moore brings. And so you mix that energy and motivation with, you know, Iowa City High is still one of the bigger schools in the state. There's a huge talent pool there to choose from, you know, and they've been really good at some other sports over the years and, you know, most notably soccer, but they've had some really, really good baseball teams the last couple of years as well. You get a lot of those guys to come out for football, to play with the guys that are already kind of bought in for football. Then you bring in this young coach who's full of energy, who plays a different brand of football, an exciting brand of football. No surprise at all that they've been able to take off. You know, they got a tough test ahead of them, not only against Urbandale, but if they're able to win, probably going to see Cedar Rapids Kennedy in the quarterfinals. We'll see if Dubuque Senior can maybe upset them in the first round. But, you know, tough path to get to the Unidome, but not out of the, you know, realm of possibility at all for the Little Hawks in Mitch Moore's first season out there.
You mentioned Cedar Rapids Kennedy, the only remaining undefeated team in Class 5A. Cody, let's jump down to Class and a lot of local flavor down in Class 4A. You have Winterset there. They're up in Pod 1. Norwalk, they go on the road to Webster City. Bondurant Farrar welcoming in Fort Dodge, and just cool to see Fort Dodge in the playoffs and not at the big school level and maybe a better chance of them making a run. Carlisle, Indianola, feels like another one here. Pretty open, or do you think it's North Scott and everybody else?
I really like this North Scott team. I think there's a couple of teams that could maybe apply some pressure. You know, the other thing about North Scott is, you know, not only are they 9-0, and we've kind of thought of them as kind of the crop of this class, but, like, you know, they've beaten Cedar Rapids Xavier. They've beaten, you know, a handful of these other teams that, you know, we consider teams that are probably near the top of Class 4A this season. They've been that good. They've been that good all year. I mean, really, they were that good last year, too, and they just have kind of continued this role that they're on. Some of the teams that could apply pressure, I think maybe Cedar Rapids Xavier in a rematch, you know, now that they've kind of gotten their hands on them, so to speak. What does that look like if they're able to meet up again at the Unidome? Very intrigued by this Waverly Shell Rock team. They've showed that they can win close. They've shown that they can win big. They can win shootouts. They can win defensive slugfest. Very versatile team that has, you know, two or three guys that can really run the rock a little bit. Really like this Bondurant for our team. You know, with Titus Cram, who can do a little bit of everything, but they've got a lot of other dudes just kind of in and around. And I've been a huge fan of this Indianola team, too. I know they slipped up to Norwalk earlier this year, but, you know, they came back. And, you know, that's another team that has beaten some really good teams this year. You know, they could see Lewis Central in the quarterfinals. They already got a win over them. You know, they want a shootout against Pella. You know, this is an Indianola team that I think, you know, they have a path not only to the Unidome, but, you know, depending on how things shake out, you know, if the seeds hold, they would potentially, I think, see North Scott in the semifinal round. But, you know, if there's some upsets along the way, who knows? I mean, there's some teams that I think can apply pressure. I think it's going to be a really tall task to take down North Scott. You know, but there's a lot of fun talent, I think, in Class 4A. Maybe, I know we talk a lot about 5A in this space and here in Central Iowa, just because Ankeny and Dowling and Valley and Polk and all that. But there's a lot of fun 4A football around the state as well, and especially here in Central Iowa with Indianola, Carlisle, Bondurant, Farrar, Norwalk. You go a little bit north to Webster City and Fort Dodge, a little bit south to Winterset. There's a lot of fun football here too. So I hope people don't sleep on the 4A playoffs nearly as much as you know, just because we don't talk about it nearly as much.
I'm glad you brought it up, because those are all in our listening audience, and Bondurant, that district, I'm not sure what number it is, but boy,
it was stacked.
They got some teams in the playoffs. So let me ask you my last question for you, Cody. Let's try to finish up. Does travel come into play anymore with the Iowa High School Athletic Association? I mean, normally early, whether it be week one or week two of the playoffs, travel would be a factor. How big of a factor is it still, if at all?
So I think it's a little bit of a factor, and it's more of a factor, I think, with some of the smaller classes. You know, if you kind of look at some of those matchups, you know, there are some matchups that, you know, might scratch your head a little bit, but a lot of it is because, you know, they don't really want to send all these teams across the state for whatever reason. I mean, you look at Spirit Lake West Lyon. Those are two teams that have to play this Friday. You know, and I'm pretty convinced that those are two. That should probably be a state quarterfinal game. But because of the way Spirit Lake ended their regular season, because West Lyon won their district, and because of where they are proximity wise, it just kind of makes sense to pair them up this weekend. It kind of stinks. You know, same thing with OABCIG in Greene County. That's another team where, you know, that's not a short drive by any means. But you know, where do you send OABCIG, right? They're not district champs, so they have to play on the road. So where do you go? You don't want to send them to Southeast Valley because that was the team that won their district, right? But, you know, do you send them to Williamsburg? That's a haul. Do you send them to Waukon? That's a haul. You know, and that's just in two ways. So a little bit more of a factor in the smaller classes, but, you know, in some of the larger classes, I think the Iowa High School Athletic Association, it seems to me that what they've really done is tried to protect, you know, I say protect, they try to separate the top four seeds. And then from there, maybe try to pair them up with whoever finished fifth through eighth in the RPI, just to try and maybe create, you know, the possibility of true quarterfinal games. And then from there, you pair up the rest of them. Some of them, it's through geography. Some of them, it's just, hey, like, these schools are big enough, they can handle the travel expenses and you know, just let them go, right? So, and then some of them also make sense, right? Like, Carlisle was the last team in Class 4A. It makes a lot of sense to maybe send them to play Indianola rather than Xavier, North Scott, or Waverly Shell Rock, right? So, because Indianola was, I believe, they ended up as the four seed. They won their district. I know that that's a district rematch, so that kind of stinks, but it also just kind of made the most sense when given the rest of the 4A. So, you know, a little bit here and there, more so in the smaller classes, but I think geography is still a little bit of a factor.
20 days till wrestling starts, Cody. I'm sure you already know that. Wrestling practice starts on November 15th, but we're out of time. We will talk wrestling, though, I'm sure, when we get to those winter months, and enjoy the playoffs. So where are you going to be Friday night?
I will be at Dowling Linmar. I want to get my eyes on the Maroons one more time. They're coming in hot. So that's a team I think people, you never sleep on Dowling, right? But especially this year with Jackson Smolik back healthy, this could be a team that could make a run.
Well, that game 2 weeks ago, I mean, you've seen a lot of live games. That Valley Dowling, man, that was entertaining. Cody, good stuff. Thank you for doing this for us. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you in the weeks ahead. Thanks, Cody Goodwin.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Good to talk to you, Cody Goodwin, Des Moines Register. As we talk high school football playoffs, who wins it? The 5A.
Dowling Catholic.
Dowling Catholic. It's been a long time since they've had a...
They'd have a full year off.
They've had a year. Time to start another streak, huh?
They'd have to do it by going to Southeast Polk in the quarterfinals.
Ooh.
Then they'll reseed.
Yep. But that's at that point. They've received once they get
to the dome.
To the dome.
For the semifinals. Yeah, you got the pod system here set up, the four teams in each of the four pods, and then you go there, they'll reseed it, and we will crown a champion. Boy, I love the dome. I love playoff football, the intensity that was there. And after last year, as odd it was, with dozens and dozens of people is all inside the building, it'll be fun to have full crowds back there again.
Yeah, those garage doors open up and the teams run out. Good stuff. We'll come back, finish up the program. It's Miller and Condon on 1460 KXNO and 10.
To learn more.
Trent Condon here for the Urology Center of Iowa. Now's your chance to sit on the couch guilt-free all weekend long watching football while you heal after your vasectomy from the Urology Center of Iowa. The doctors there perform my procedure in less than a half hour. Make the call to 515-400-3550. That's 400-3550 and online at iowauro.com. A guilt-free football watching weekend after your vasectomy. Yes, football season is here, but baseball season never ends. Victory Mounds is your ace when it comes to premium baseball and softball products and services, with portable pitching mounds and everything else you need for your indoor facility, or help this fall getting your field ready for next spring and summer. Victory Mounds Field Consulting Services can help you improve the quality and playability of your field. Go to victorymounds.com and stay in the...
Americans.
The Rookie Sports Cards in Clive gives you the best in the world of cards and signed memorabilia. Get into the collecting game with The Rookie for football, baseball, basketball, and hockey cards, from sets to individuals, signed jerseys and helmets, and their weekly bid board. Stop by The Rookie today, 9992 Swanson Boulevard in Clive, to rip a pack of cards and have some fun. It's The Rookie Sports Cards in
800 bets off.
Trent's Pick of the Day is brought to you by Circus Sports. Download the Circus Sports app today to play with Trent or against him.
All right, welcome back. 1460 KXNO, 106.3 FM. That in a second. Just kind of finishing where we started, going back. I just watched Brady give the kid the hat.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that helped him. Is Tom Brady more likable since he's away from the Patriots?
I think that's you.
Just me?
That's you.
I think he's more likable.
See, I didn't dislike him at the same
time. Well, I respected the hell of what they did. I mean, how can you not? But I think he's more likable. I know he's one. Anyways.
He's a weird duck.
You can't knock the cat. Your play of the day. I know what it is. We've already discussed it. It's the Bravos.
Yes, I've already invested in the series, so I will not be playing game one. But, of course, it's a seven-game series, so I got to have something. I found two things tonight. One in the NBA early, TNT 6:30. The Knickerbockers welcome in the 76ers. Knicks coming off an awful loss to a terrible Orlando team. I don't know how that happened. They beat them by like 30 the game before. It was a back-to-back, and then they lost. They bounce back. We'll lay the one at home.
Okay.
MSG. Game two, let's go to hockey.
Oh.
Yes. Intrigued? The Wild are making that always easy.
Vancouver.
Nashville to Vancouver back-to-back.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, give me the Canucks even on the money line. Against the Wild, as the Wild drop their second game of the season.
Well, I hope you're right.
I know you do. I hope I'm wrong.
Right.
At least as it pertains to the team that I root for in the NHL.
Well, enjoy game one of the World Series. We will talk about that tomorrow. Murph and Andy in an hour and 5 minutes with Fanatics, and then Cyclone Insider at 6. See you tomorrow, 14-6.